Hello again, Gooners. I was probably a bit too loud there, but you know, what can I say? What can I do? Not much. Can't even stop the drum beat. you would like to think this is deliberate, but unfortunately it's not. It's just my lack of technological know-how. And you know what? I found it. Stopped. See? Hello. Hello, Alex, otherwise known as Fizzy. All right. So, yeah, you're going to chat to us today. Yeah, it's very professional. It's low-tech at its finest. I'm so proud of that moment. Yeah, without a doubt, I was... Yeah, I'm kind of pleased with myself, though, in a very, very sort of strange way. Anyway, what I was going to ask you about is the latest news, and as we've already mentioned, off-air. It's not been a very newsy day for Arsenal fans, has it? I mean, what little nuggets are out there, news-wise? Anything of note, or is it noteless?
Well, I think the main focus is Arsene Wenger in his book report. He's gaining a bit of publicity, and obviously he's got something to say, as he normally does. But promoting his book, but he's been asked about the Arsenal CEO.
Yeah, and how would you feel? How would you feel if he'd have become Arsenal CEO? Or how would you feel if he became Arsenal CEO at some point in the future?
I have to admit, currently, I wouldn't want him.
Yeah.
I think he's missing football. And I know he's got that role at FIFA or UEFA, one of the two. But I think when Wenger left, yeah, he really didn't want to leave, but eventually he could see the writing was on the wall. But it was such a long, drawn-out affair. You know, some people said he should have been gone a few years ago. I kind of lost faith in him after that season when Leicester won the league. I kind of thought, well, that was our chance to win the league, because all the other teams were sort of in transition, and it didn't happen. And I just think we'll be going backwards. I think we need to look forward. I think maybe in the future, possibly, but at the minute, how the club is run, I think the club is run quite well. I think, you know, Kroenke's starting to get involved a bit more. Kroenke's son, Josh, he's certainly he's a bit more hands-on. Edu and Arteta seem to be doing quite well. You know, I think there's certain mistakes that Wenger made in his last few years that, why wouldn't he make those mistakes again? There's nothing to suggest that he's learned from his mistakes, and I just think it's a step back, but I wouldn't be keen. I think, yeah, we need to, obviously, we're incredibly grateful for all that he's done and the direction he took us in, you know, all the way back in 1996 when he started. You know, he's transformed the club into a 21st century club. You know, he's largely to thank for the stadium, you know, his vision and his ideas. But now I think it's time for someone with new ideas and a new vision to take the club. I just don't think, I don't know how Wenger would be able to sort of be in that role. I think he might feel tempted to get involved, cross lines in terms of what Arteta and Edu are doing. So I wouldn't be keen. If I'm honest, I think, yeah, let's leave the dog's lie, really. I don't think.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to work, does it? When you think about Sir Alex Ferguson, when he's hovering around in the background, and even Manchester United seem to have shown in the past, even going way back, you know, I think it was Matt Busby was hovering around when whoever the next manager was after him, and things didn't turn out well. They ended up getting relegated. So I don't see that it's a good thing at all, having someone.
You know. I agree. It's just like a shadow of the current manager. And I think, I don't see what, Wenger's obviously got years of experience in the game and lots of a wealth of knowledge, but I don't think we need to change things. I think the club is moving in the right direction as it is.
And what about us?
Arteta are determined to go forward with their vision of how the club should be run. I think we need to give back time. I think it's the step backwards.
Yeah. What about a statue? Would you consider putting up a statue? Yes, yeah, you would.
100%. He is arguably, obviously, Herbert Chapman is technically our most successful manager, but certainly in most Arsenal fans' lifetime. I think Baker is, of course, and you know what he did in terms of not just what he contributed to Arsenal, but what he contributed to football. I think, yeah, he deserves one for sure.
And what about?
I think he should be sort of celebrated for what he did.
Even.
I don't think it's a wise move to include him in the running of the club now. But
yeah. Yeah. What about, no, I've been facetious now. I was thinking, why not put the statues in the ground so it looks like there are fans, you know, but that's a bit silly. I was thinking as well, what about George Graham? Would you have a statue with a bag of swag for George Graham? Because I was thinking, for me, actually, all jokes aside, he's actually one of my heroes. He still is one of my heroes, even though, yeah. Yeah, he did.
And he won, you know, two leagues, a few cups, one of those two managers to win a European trophy as Arsenal manager. Yeah, Wenger didn't do that. So, unfortunately, with Graham, it's how he left, wasn't it? Or the surroundings and how he left. You know, the
bung scandal, yeah.
I don't think Arsenal will ever sort of be able to let that go. And I don't think the club will ever be able to sort of truly celebrate.
It's such a shame.
For all the good things he did.
Mm.
And in the North Bank, when they rebuilt the North Bank, they had, it was fantastic, they used to have a museum.
Yeah.
And in the museum, they were doing tours and whatever else. And because we were season ticket holders, I was quite young at the time, I was only 8 or 9. Well, at 8 or 9 when the North Bank was built, we used to go to the museum every week, and we were friends with the manager, the people that ran it.
Yeah.
And Charlie George used to give guided tours. Back in the day, and I remember that I met him a few times. We used to be in the museum, and we had tours of the museum every game as part of our sort of pre-match tradition. We'd go to the museum and see the guys in the museum, and like security, for want of a better word, and the people that ran it. And I remember they used to have a film that they would show before the game about Arsenal's history, and of course, yeah, every season they would update it with what happened, and. They never talked about George Graham and how he left.
Huh.
It was just completely glossed over.
Yeah.
It was like mad propaganda. It was never discussed. In that video, the club didn't acknowledge that he left. It was just, and to 1995, you know, we unfortunately lost the Champions Cup Winners' Cup to, was it Zaragoza, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then Bruce Rioch took over in 1996. There was no sort of mention about why Graham left or anything like that. So the club, I don't think the club ever wants to sort of revisit that. And I think with George Graham, it possibly sort of revisit or resurface that sort of that history. So I don't think he will. Sadly, his end cost him his statue.
What?
I think the same thing happened with Wenger. I think he dragged it out.
Yeah, that's right.
See, it wasn't the sort of...
glorious ending, yeah. It wasn't that controversial, was it, when he left? But it wasn't the glorious ending that everybody hoped for. But
drawn out, wasn't it? The nails were in the coffin long before he actually left.
Mm.
I think the last time we had a decent title challenge was aside from when Leicester won the league. And even then, we didn't really look like winning the league, but we were there or thereabouts just because everyone else was so bad. You know, City were in transition, Liverpool were in transition, Chelsea were in transition. And, you know, we stumbled into second. You know, Spurs actually were ahead of us in the last game of the season. They lost and we won and we got second. But, you know, even then, you know, we stumbled into second. So I think, you know, we weren't a championship contending team.
No.
For a fair few years. I think possibly Van Persie leaving and, you know, that was the beginning of the end for Wenger. I don't know. Because we certainly continued to play good football for those years, but if I hand on heart, I never felt that we were going to challenge for the league any year, really. It was always all maybe we might, but I never felt we had a good shout. And don't get me wrong, I don't think this year we do. I think we're a little bit too far off, but I certainly feel a lot more optimistic, confident about how this season is going. And I have for a fair few years.
Yeah, same here.
It's not just the transfer window. it's just that the attitude around the club, you know, the young players in the team helped because you know they're going to stay for a few years, you know, they're going to get better. And, you know, Arteta certainly looks good at sort of developing young players. If you, you know, listen to Raheem Sterling, he credits Arteta with, you know, big strides in his career, and other City players as well. So I'm confident there, but not just that, but just the signings and the attitude around the club. He's really sort of lifted that dark cloud that seems to be over the club for a few years, and that includes Wenger's last few years. You know, if it was up to me, I think Wenger should have left when he won that first cup final, when again was against Hull, when we beat Hull in 2014.
Yeah, that was a high moment. Yeah.
Or even when he beat Villa the year after, that would have been a good time to leave. He was like, oh, I can get back our glory days, and it wasn't happening. Yeah, we were too inconsistent. So, no, sadly, I don't think George Graham will get a statue. Hopefully, Wenger does. Hopefully, he does, because he deserves it. You know,
But to me, so did George Graham. George Graham played as well for Arsenal. So he's a hero in more than one way. Okay, people complain about the bung scandal, but for me, there's been money going out of the club in other ways that's gone undetected. And I just think he was just a bit unlucky amongst other things. I mean, because at that time, I'm not trying to justify it, but because, you know, at that time, there were so many bungs going around from what I can gather. And he was just one, you know, and it was, as people in the football game like to say, part and parcel of what goes on in football. It was part and parcel, actually, because the wages weren't that good. Yeah, I think it still is. I mean, and money is filtered out of the club. And, you know, but a lot of what's going out of the club nowadays, obviously a lot of it going to Ozil. I promise I won't mention that again, but, you know, it's going out in a legitimate way. So it's not quite, I mean, the thing is, the amount of money that George Graham took out of the club, if you compare it to what Ozil's taking out for doing nothing, it's when I put things in perspective. Like, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Obviously, we don't have this problem where we are, but Sky have announced that, because before they were showing all of the games, during lockdown they were showing all of the games, and since the lockdown's finished, they decided that they're only going to show certain games, and so something happened which made Sky basically say, well, okay, we're going to show all the games again, but we're going to charge each game for £15, £14.95. Okay.
Yeah.
And it just seems like lots of people are complaining about this. My dad talked to me about this, and he was obviously a bit annoyed. He's not a big fan of Sky at the best of times. Despite being conservative, he doesn't like Rupert Murdoch. it's awful, and I agree. It's shocking. It's just like you're going to get no neutral fans watching those games. You're punishing people for being fans. And, you know, it's especially sort of bad, right? He just said, you know, the clubs in the Premier League just dropped £1.2 billion on players in terms of transfers this year.
Yeah, and shocking.
And all of the clubs, bar two, agreed with this. They said Sky, well, they had a vote, and all of the clubs, bar two, said, we're happy for this to go ahead. And apparently the two clubs were Manchester United and Leicester said, no, this is out of order. So it seems really in bad taste. And if you think about like the situation that we're in, you know, there's high unemployment, people are struggling to make ends meet, the economy's suffering, and then you charge £15 to watch a football game.
On TV, yeah.
You know, it's just kind of like, it's like a complete lack of awareness, isn't it, really?
Seems that way, yeah. It's, I suppose, why do you think the clubs agreed? Is it because they're going to get a cut of the action? Is that why?
Yeah, for sure. Well, because Sky and Premier League, they have an arrangement. And the Premier League, obviously, they give that money to the clubs. And the clubs are all, you know, the clubs are feeling it as well.
Yeah, sure.
So I think, you know, the clubs kind of probably knew as well, they would get some slack, but Sky will take most of the hit when it comes to PR.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like, and, you know, the growth I speak out both sides of my mouth because the reality is I love the signings that we bought, and I'll pay the money to watch the games.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of, I can moan about it and bitch about it as much as I want, but I still pay that money because I'm a fan. Don't get me wrong, I'm not going to watch Burnley Sheffield United when it comes on, but I will pay for my Arsenal games. So I do feel for the fans. Once again, the fans lose out. You know, it's not even part of the subscription that they normally pay. So obviously you pay your monthly subscription. Sky users don't even get that benefit, and they have to pay an additional £14.99 per game if it's not being shown on as one of the highlighted games or
televised
games. I think it's out of order, really.
But does that mean? But does that mean they can watch every single game if they pay, you know, fork out that money every single game? They can actually see there are no matches that are not being televised. Is that how it's going to work?
Yes, I believe so.
Well, at least that's something. I mean, yeah, I know what you mean. It doesn't seem fair.
$14.95 per game.
Yeah, I know it's a lot of money. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, but surely Now or whatever they're called, you know, when you get that Now pass, I thought. They do some kind of deal where you get it for a month, but I'm not sure because it keeps on changing, right? And as you said, you know, it may not affect us too, at least, you know. But yeah, I do feel for the fans, of course I do. But what about I don't even know what the situation is with those that have got season tickets now. You know, do they get refunds? You know, or did they suspend? I'm not even sure. You know, about who was getting season tickets for this season. Yeah, you wouldn't think so.
Because it's up in the air, isn't it, the British government?
Yeah.
They wanted to sort of let fans come back, and then they had a bit. My dad said that the numbers have doubled.
Yeah, COVID's getting even worse.
COVID cases have doubled in the last week. So something like football is definitely at the back of the queue when it comes to like reopening things, isn't it?
Yeah, because it was going to be this month.
Sort of hospital, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Asking for trouble, yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. I can't make this tie in very well. Asking for trouble. Saliba's no trouble, is he? So sorry. That's the most tenuous link I've ever heard. But he's gonna get loaned out, perhaps. But the deadline's upon us. I don't know the exact date. I looked and somebody wrote, "The deadline is upon us." Well, it's in the next few days anyway. But Saliba, do you think he will get loaned out to Brentford or Watford so he can practice set pieces and timing the tackles, amongst other things? And do you think it's a good decision?
No, I think it's a good idea. I think he obviously can't play for Arsenal at this moment because he's just not good enough. If Arteta says something about that, like timing the tackles, and, you know, they're sort of technical aspects of his game that he needs to work on. And, you know, what better way to work on than another team that, you know, you're going to get back. You know, I think, you know, defenders have got lots of time on their hands. You know, a good centre-half can play up until the age of 35. You know, don't get me wrong, he won't be peak, but, you know, he's, yeah, Saliba's not turning 20 till March, so he's got lots of time on his hands.
Yeah.
And some defenders, you know, they take a while to sort of turn into the class players that we want them to be. The example I'm reading now is Van Dijk. Van Dijk joined Liverpool when he was 27 years old.
Yeah, at his peak.
So,
pretty much at his peak, yeah.
Celtic, Southampton, in Holland, you know, and it takes time to sort of fine-tune your game. And we're talking about margins that are so small, but would you want Saliba, if Arteta's really, and he comes out and says that about timing his tackles or whatever else, you know, you want him to make those mistakes for someone else, really. So,
yeah.
I'm keen for it. My concern is, again, we talked about this last time about being overplayed, and I am concerned that he'll be overplayed, but I don't think that's going to be, if he goes out on loan, I think hopefully he'll get the right amount of games. Obviously, like we said this before, yeah, the club will have a program for him, a loan sort of program for him, that hopefully wherever he goes, that club, that loan club, will stick to it. to sort of develop him as we want him to. But I think it's just he's too young for Arsenal. I really just think he's too young for Arsenal. He's 19. Like, he had a difficult season last year. Like, he did play a few games, but you know, he was injured lots. And I think the championship, I don't think for a second that the championship is that much worse than League One in France. I really don't. I don't think that, you know, you've got a couple of clubs, yes, that are pretty good, but you know, it's going to be some Leeds would struggle in League One. You know, and I don't think, so I think it's a better move for him because he goes to a club that's near Arsenal, so he lives in London, hopefully, so that he gets acclimatised because, he's 19, he's moving away from home. We think back to how, when I moved to university at 19, It was a culture shock. Mm. And I went to Wales, which is a different country. But, he's got all of this growing up to do, emotionally and mentally. I think, if he can stay at Arsenal, keep in touch, and, he gets some playing time as well, he improves his game, then I think it's a move that I'm all for,
Would you insist he goes to another London club or nearby, as opposed to, say, somewhere a long way up north?
They are, aren't they? Mm. If Brentford and Watford are the two clubs being mentioned, then possibly that's sort of part of the requirement.
It's strange. I actually said on the last podcast, Brentford, I fancied him going there because last season they were pretty close to get promotion. Apparently they play some pretty good football. So maybe that would be the best grounding for him. It's just, the Championship is a tough league. He's liable to get kicked a lot, even if he is playing at centre-back, because he'll certainly learn the ropes if he's in the Championship.
Yeah, so he'll make a match. You think about all the players, time gone by, that have spent a year out at a Championship club.
Yeah.
Normally they come back better for it.
Yeah, and tougher.
You think about Reece Nelson.
Yeah.
Reece Nelson spent a year, Reece Nelson spent a year in Germany, but, he's played more. You think of Nketiah. He's not a finished article.
No.
But playing at least, he learned a few things. So I do think it's beneficial for them at such a young age.
And also, he's still, I would insist he stays in London, really, because he's got to acclimatise to London in particular and learn the accent, basically. Because, if he goes up north, say he went to Scotland or something, and he'd come back and he would think he may struggle to understand people. I don't know if it works that way around. Maybe it only works. He'd probably struggle. Yeah. And plus, what about, I don't know if Eurostar's running anymore, but, if he wants to go back to France, it's so easy from London. If he goes up north, it's going to be so difficult to get back. And no doubt, if anybody's listening, we've got two listeners at the moment, so it seems. So I want to say a big shout out to Major Spy Sputnik. And I can't quite see the other name because it's too small in my window, but somebody sing. So welcome to the podcast if you're actually listening. But what it says on here, Alex, it says, where are they? They're in the, I'm not even sure where they are, but they're in an area where apparently they might be able to hear us. So shout out to those two.
Let's do some Q&A.
Yeah, we can definitely do Q&A. So if they're willing to type a message, which I think they can, I'll let you know the message as and when I see it. Right, okay. So the one thing before we start this quiz, and by the way, if you are listening out there, it's an extremely low-tech quiz. I'm going to say my apologies and make my excuses now. The only other thing, I mean, is it really newsworthy? I don't think so. But Dion Dublin is apologising to David Luiz for the amount of stick he's given him. Is that a watershed, or will they start giving him stick yet again? Do you think David Luiz has... I mean, I've always liked David Luiz, so, laying my cards on the table, I've always thought he was a good signing for Arsenal. I know everybody's criticised him a lot, and even me, occasionally, I've said, that was his fault, or, he's made a few mistakes along the way, but I really felt he was a good signing. How are you feeling about David Luiz now? Not as good as me.
He's always got a mistake in him.
Yeah.
He's got lots of attributes, he's got lots of strengths. Like, if you look at look back at his career, he's won nearly everything.
Yeah.
At club level, you know, he's a very skillful player, and he has something. You know, he has something that a lot of centre half don't have: his ability to pass the ball. He's strong, and there's certainly some games. I think it was in the cup final. He was amazing. Like, and in the semi final, he was pretty good as well. So you know, he has in his locker fantastic performances. But at the same time, I always worry that he has this ability just to go, you know, lose his head. You know, if you think back to like when we played Liverpool last year at the beginning of the season, you know, he dived into a tackle with Salah scored. You think back to when he played City straight after lockdown, you know, his mistake sort of, did he get sent off?
His
mistake as well.
I think so.
The goal. Even against Sheffield United, there was an argument he should have been sent off because he pulled someone down. So he has that sort of mistake in him. I can understand why people are critical. I don't feel particularly confident with him at times, but you never know what David Luiz is going to turn up, really. Not David Luiz is going to turn up, really. But I am, one of the things I did, one of his strengths, one of the reasons I do like him, is because I think he will sort of be a good mentor to Gabriel for this season at the very least. If he might leave at the end of the year, because obviously he's got a 1-year deal. But I think he will sort of coach, and I think he takes that responsibility on. We've got quite a bit of pride, really. I think he's happy to do that. He wants to be part of the team. And I think he's a good member of the squad in that regard. Like, he improves the morale. People like him. You know, he works hard. So I don't think he's particularly a bad player. I think he's just got that sort of, he's a bit error prone at times. And it's inconsistent. You never know what David Luiz should be getting.
He's quite a calming influence, though.
He's one of the best. He's probably,
I think he calms.
He's our most successful centre half at the minute. He's probably our best centre half at the minute.
Yeah, and I feel that he calms a team down a little. Even after he makes a mistake, he seems to take it in his stride as much as anyone could after some of these errors, because they've been pretty bad. I can't deny it. These errors are pretty awful. But I just like his positivity. I always think he's just thinking, well, okay, I made a mistake. Now let's get over it and let's start playing again. And he's such a good passer of the ball. I mean, in my opinion, he's the best passer of the ball in the club. I'm just shocked at how good he is sometimes on the ball. Off the ball, not always great. He might not track. I mean, I think he's tracking better than he's ever done. So he's improved, but I wasn't unhappy when he first joined, and even through the mistakes, I always, you know, so to speak, at his back, I always felt this guy's going to come good.
Well, it was quite a sort of a late deal, wasn't it? I think we were just desperate for a centre half, and you know, to be fair, it's a quite a shrewd deal, because he wants to sort of carry on playing. He's got the ability to play at that top level. Chelsea, I don't think. Chelsea were changing how they were going to do things. They had their centre-halves. I don't think Luiz was going to picture that much in that scene last year. So, like I said, I do believe he's probably our best centre-half.
Yeah.
Which doesn't say much about the quality of our other centre-halves, but I do think he is our best centre-half, and he is an improvement on what we had last year. So, I'm happy for him to stay at the club. I think alongside with Gabriel, I think he'll sort of grow with that sort of mentoring responsibility. So hopefully it will iron out any problems that he has.
And he may bring out the best in the other players. All right, we'll move on to our little quiz section, and then I guess we'll sign off after this. We don't know how long this quiz section is going to take. I'm just making sure I've got this very low-tech sound effect lined up. So some of you out there may have watched a program called Pointless. Well, this is called Pintless, but we're not playing it in a place where we could get a pint. And actually, I'm just gonna tell the truth here. The sound effect is not made with a pint glass, it's made with a half pint glass. But the idea is, we gave 100 gooners 100 seconds to name the greatest team in the history of Arsenal, there was only one answer, so I'm not running that question. And it wasn't pointless. So the idea is, how many respondents gave the answer that Alex is about to give, all right? So my first question to you, and I'll give you around about a minute to answer this question, you've got to come up with the most pointless or obscure answer to this question. Can you name a player who has scored, I know you can name at least one, probably about three or four or five, can you name a player who has scored 100 goals for Arsenal? And there are quite a few. And I reckon, my guess is you could name one, two, three, but you've got to try and name the most obscure one. And basically, I'm going to tell you now, according to the 100 Gooners who had 100 seconds, there are three pointless answers. So there are three pointless answers. There are a lot more on there than I possibly could imagine. I actually thought there were only about 10. And it turns out, actually, it's not that many more than 10. It's probably about 20, but I didn't count. But I've got all the figures here.
20 Arsenal players have scored 100 Arsenal goals.
Yeah, roundabout. Let me just count. I'll count while you think. Are you thinking aloud? It sounds like not. So there are no cheating. You can't go on the internet. Yeah, there's quite a few. I mean, it's academic me saying this, but I reckon I would have got, you've only got to pick one, but you've got to pick the most obscure, and then I'm going to keep your tally as to...
I've got an answer I don't think many people would get.
Okay, and your answer is?
Just because of the age of it, really.
Okay.
It would be Cliff Bastin.
Okay, right. That means it's time for the sound effect. Let's see if it works. Oh, no. It's not going to work. Cliff Bastin. It's going down. Whoop. 84. So it's quite a lot. And I think the reason for that is Cliff Bastin, there was a lot of... You remember when Ian Wright broke his record? So his record stood for such a long time that I think because of that reason, there's an awful lot of fans. But as I said, three pointless answers. So if you're out there listening, you may want to know who those three pointless answers are. I'll go through the answers maybe next time. So I'm not going to tell you now. But, yeah, that's not terrible. At least you didn't get 100 points. So can you name those?
It's not good, is it? 84. So 84, what, the higher the number, the better then?
The higher number, the worse your response. If you ask me about Cliff Bastin, have I heard of him? Yes. If you ask me, what does he look like? Wouldn't have a clue what he looks like. If you ask me, where did he play? I think he played on the right wing, but I'm not really sure. He scored because that record stood for so long. That's the only reason I'm not sure. It depends what mood I'm in. I may have picked him, I may have not. I would have said Omri Wright, obviously. Cliff Bastin, probably. And there would be at least one or two more that I would have got. I'm actually looking for. Can you name a couple more? Do you reckon? A couple more players like recent times.
Okay.
Because I'm not giving away the points once. Yeah, well done, Ted Drake is what is about sixth, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th. Yeah, and there was one in the 1971 double winning team who's just he's quite a long way behind actually. 149 goals. Yes, well done. You got it. Bang on. And then the one with three names, kind of three names, who disappeared to Manchester United under a cloud.
Oh, Van Persie.
Yeah, he's up there, 132. And then one of my favourites, who went to Everton and now has been loaned out. He's on loan. I think he's gone back to Southampton.
Wally Walker.
Yes, he's up there, 108. And then there's one at Chelsea.
There's a lot more recent players. Though.
Yeah.
I was struggling. Like Alan Smith.
Yeah, he's up there, 115. Of course, there's a number 10, a very famous number 10. No, unfortunately, he's not on the list. I wish he were, because I like Merson a lot as a pundit too, even though he upsets a lot of people. No, Ray Kennedy's not on the list. I think he got transferred a bit too early on to make the 100 goals. But yeah, there's Frank Stapleton and Dennis Bergkamp. They're the ones that I would have thought. And Olivier Giroud, 105. The others are all from way back. But three of those from way back are pointless answers. Okay, so, right, we'll move on to the next one. Let's see if our bladders can take it, if this sound effect plays again. Right, I was going to ask you to name the 1971 FA Cup final team. I'd change my mind on that because there will be no pointless answers for that because they're all so famous. But there's a pointless answer. Only one pointless answer for this. The 1969. So think about the 1971 FA Cup final team. That will give you many of the answers for the 1969 League Cup final team against Swindon, which obviously ended in defeat. But if you get this, I don't know. I don't know what prize you deserve, but I will be flabbergasted if you get this. So what is the pointless answer in that FA Cup final, sorry, League Cup final team that played against Swindon and lost 3-1? And that was a shocking result.
And they played in the 71 Cup final as well?
Not all of them. The one that's pointless, I want to give you a clue this time because I think it's just such a horrible question. The one who is pointless did not play in the 1971 FA Cup final. In fact, there are about four players. Only four, though. Only four players did not play in the 1971 FA Cup final. So the moral of that story is, if at first you don't succeed, just keep on trying. So I thought I'd throw that in. Be positive. But yeah, anyway, so there's only one that I would, you know, that just did not get any sort of response at all. And he may be upset, this particular person, because he has been in and around the club for a while. So you got a slight chance of getting this. So,
well, the name that's popped in my head, because you said about he might get upset, there's one answer I think is too obvious. I would say, I don't know if he played in the 71 Cup, but I'm pretty sure he played for the club around the time, George Armstrong.
Okay, right, let's run the machine, see what it says to this one. Here we go. That was the wrong sound effect. Oh no. What happened there? That wasn't, I don't even know what that was that played. That certainly wasn't what I thought was going to play. So I told you this was going to go a little haywire. Okay, I think I'll just give you, I don't know. I shouldn't probably play it because it does have an effect on me. Right, here we go. I must play it because it took me ages to record. It took me all of 10 seconds. Here we go. Okay, it's getting lower. But not low enough. 74 said George Armstrong. So at least you're not getting 100. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So 74. I'm not going to give you the pointless answer, but I'll give you some of the high earners, as it were. Obviously, you know the goalkeeper, FA Cup final goalkeeper was the same. He played against Swindon. Bob Wilson. Yeah. Frank McClintock, captain for both games. John Radford played. So Armstrong, actually, you picked the lowest out of all the players that played in both games. So, yeah, you kind of did well on that. Peter Simpson, number six. Bob McNabb, Peter Story. The others, I'll just give you the ones that weren't pointless, right? Ian Ewer, that was quite a low-scoring answer. John Samuels. Yeah, John Samuels. You see, I didn't really see those guys play, Ian Ewer and John Samuels. I didn't see him play. And Bobby Gould. Bobby Gould's obviously pretty famous.
Bobby Gould, I remember him.
Yeah.
He
was on TV. Managed quite a few teams as well. I think Coventry amongst them. All right, so you're doing okay, given the sort of standard of these questions. Right, this is going to be so hot. Actually, I don't know. You might get this, you know. I just thought we should have a section on the opposition. So this is my question about the opposition. Cast your mind back, and you may have been very, very, very young or not even born. I'm not even sure. 1978, Spurs take on Arsenal. Arsenal smash Spurs 5-0, but you may have seen it on a rerun or something. Arsenal smash Spurs 5-0. And Spurs had a pretty star-studded team at the time. And I believe Arsenal finished above them in the league. I may be mistaken. I'm pretty sure they finished about four places above Spurs in that season. But not that high, to be honest. But higher than Spurs. But Spurs had a star-studded team then. They had a couple of guys that joined them from the World Cup winning team of 1978. So they weren't expected to get turned over at White Hart Lane 5-0. So now for your pointless question, see if you can guess. I mean, some of the names, you may get a name or two at least because they were pretty famous. But see if you can guess who's the pointless answer. And obviously, lots of Arsenal fans say the whole Spurs team are pointless. But just for the sake of this game, we're not going to say that. We're going to say, no, they're not. They're not pointless because some Arsenal fans knew the names of some of those players because they were, some of them, household names. Some, and I'll tell you in a minute. So yeah. You got any ideas about them? About who, which?
I know, yeah. I know, and it definitely won't be the pointless answer.
Yes.
Is their ex-manager.
Yes. Who is?
Definitely won't be the pointless answer.
Two ex-managers. Oh, maybe three. Maybe three. I'm not sure about... One of them managed England's under-21s, but he's not actually nowhere near a pointless answer. So, yeah. Some of these...
The Argentinian.
Yes, go for that. That's not the lowest scoring. But at least it's correct.
Yeah, that's the only one I can think of. Obviously, I worked
it 6 years
before.
Yeah, so, sure.
Yes,
well done. Yeah, the idealist. Yeah, that's the highest scoring one. But at least it's not 100 points. 91 points for that. Glenda, as a lot of Arsenal fans like to call him. Yeah, he was playing in that game. There was Peter Taylor, the number 11 was Peter Taylor. John Gorman. I mean, these are the high scoring. I'm only giving you the high scoring. John Gorman was playing. Obviously, he had a managerial career, stuck alongside Glenn Hoddle. Actually, I met Glenn Hoddle. He's actually a really nice guy, I have to say. Sorry, Arsenal fans. He's a nice guy. What can I say? Steve Perryman as well. Steve Perryman, obviously, pretty famous. The others, I don't like to say they're non-entities because that would be extremely rude, but I think some Arsenal fans might think so. But anyway, they were pointless. So that's how we get revenge, right? Well, we didn't need to get revenge because we won that 5-0. Okay, so this next section is even more horrible. Can you believe this? And I will be... Yeah, this gets so obscure now. But you've got a chance. I reckon you'll get a right answer. I think I'll be shocked if you don't get a right answer. Now we're looking at a random season. Okay, this is a random season section. I feel like I've only got four sections, even though I have got five. So this is the fourth section, the random season section, and I've selected even further back in time. So this is so horrible to you. 74-75 season, because I was trying to make it so it's maybe a little bit too difficult, but at the same time, so there is a pointless answer, because otherwise the chance of a pointless answer is not high. Okay, so the 74-75 season, I'll just give you this clue. That season, there were some strange teams in the league in that particular season. Okay, so you've got to choose which team did Arsenal lose against during that season and try to pick the strangest one. They lost a lot of games, so you've got a good chance of getting the right answer. Really, that was awful. Arsenal finished 16th that season. So they lost, they got knocked out of the cups early on, and they lost against some pretty poor opponents. So all you got to do now is guess which opponent did Arsenal lose to. And there are quite a few to choose from. So, but I do expect you to get a right answer. I do expect that because so many. I mean, I can't count.
Oh, yeah, but it's what teams were, and I take it most of these teams are not in the top league now.
Yeah, if you want to be ambitious and go for a pointless answer, yeah, you need to choose a team that's not in the Premier League right now. If you want to just get it right, then you've probably got a 50% chance of getting it right just by choosing a Premier League team. Maybe I'm slightly exaggerating, but you've got a big chance.
Go big or go home, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would guess Man I'm going to go with Coventry City.
Oh, wow. You got it. But it's not pointless. 35. Yes. You get 35 for that, Coventry. There are two pointless answers. Again, I'm not going to give them till next time, just so that people come back, just to find out. Sure, they will. But I'll give you the high ones. There's so many teams. Obviously, Spurs lost to Spurs only once. So Wolves lost to Wolves. These are the high scorers. Ipswich lost to them twice, lost to Everton twice, lost to Leeds twice, Man City. It's quite an endless list, actually. So it's pretty shocking. Man, and West Ham lost to them twice, once in the cup. And that game was memorable in the cup. West Ham actually won the cup that year. And I remember I was at that game and it was pouring with rain. And Alan Taylor, this, I don't know how to describe him, maybe I best not. But he scored two goals and I just sort of, I was in the kids' enclosure and everyone was getting whacked. It was horrible. It was really horrible. In the pouring rain, we were all soaked and getting whacked and, you know, on and off the pitch. It was just horrible. It was one of the worst games I ever attended, but it didn't stop me being addicted. Anyway, so I just thought I'd throw that in. And finally, your final, you actually got your high score on that. I mean, your lowest score is your high score, if you see what I mean. So Coventry was a very, very good call. Yes. So we're trying to keep your handicap down. Right. But this might blow it completely because this is actually your two pointless answers here. Unfortunately, I think you've got next to no chance, although you have mentioned you might get a right answer here. You might get a right answer because you mentioned one of the players earlier. So there's your clue. You're never going to get a pointless answer. The chance of it is, well, negligible. Okay, transfers in and out during the 74-75 season. When I looked online, I found 7 transfers, 3 coming in and 4 going out. There were, I'll give you the big names afterwards, but I think you've got a chance of getting one going out because you mentioned that player already.
I think I know who you're talking about as well.
Yeah.
Yes,
you got it. So you've got a right answer. I'll let you have one more, a go for a pointless. I cannot see you getting a pointless answer here, but I could see you possibly. I'll give you all the
pointless answers. Like a youth player, or obviously a very obscure player.
Yeah, one of them. I'll tell you one of the point. I'll give you a clue for one of the pointless players. He came. I like saying it like this. He came. I'm half Scottish, so I'm allowed to say this. He came from Scotland, and he was going to be the new. I think they said he was going to be the new Peter Marinelli, who hadn't done very well. I mean, Peter Marinelli, from what I understand, I don't remember if I'm not sure if I've ever seen him play, but I heard he was pretty good on his day. But he just a bit like Ozil. There weren't that many days where they saw the best of him because Peter Marinelli was going to be the new George Best. So this guy who came in from Scotland, same club, he was going to be the new Peter Marinelli plus, but it didn't quite pan out like that. And it was a lot of money that was paid out for this guy. He came in and it just didn't happen. And then there was... Malcolm McDonald, right? I can't even play the. I should play it for Ray Kennedy. Let's play it for Ray Kennedy, right? This, Malcolm McDonald was a different year, so this is. This is so making me want to use the toilet. I swear, right? See, Ray Kennedy, that got you a nice little run of. I filled that up at least a quarter of a pint there. So yeah, Ray Kennedy, 67. But I'm not going to tell you the pointless answers because, as you said, same next week or next time we do a podcast. But I'll give you the big names because you might remember some of these. Brian Kidd came in for £110,000. He managed to score 34 goals in 90 games. And you might say that's not that many goals, but that's that goal to appearance ratio is much better than what he got at Man United, which is where he came from. He was scoring, I think, a goal every four games, if I'm not mistaken there. But he was highly rated, and yeah, he was top scorer.
Low battery.
Oh, low battery. Nice of you to remind me.
Power off.
Right, yeah. I don't even want to say what that sounded like. Very dodgy indeed. But yeah, anyway, so yeah, Brian Kidd, he was a big name signing. Terry Mancini, you might think he's a guy in an orchestra, because I don't know why I think that. It's Pink Panther or something. But no, it's a different Terry Mancini. This guy came from QPR. He wasn't that bad, actually, but, you know, I don't think Arsenal fans were that enamoured by his signing. And going out, this guy was pretty famous because the amount of money he cost. I think he cost about 220,000. I didn't check this. It's just from memory. Jeff Blockley left the club. David Price was a decent player. He left. And Ray Kennedy, plus a pointless answer. And coming in was that new Peter Marinelli, as I said, didn't really take off. So I think I'm not going to play out with that music, at least. I've just got to try and play out with some other music. Is there anything else we want to say before we hit the road, Jack? Can we say hit the road, Jack? We've covered everything. Oh, yes. Yes, well done for slaving on that. All right, so I'm going to start playing out with the music then, and thank you, everybody, for joining us. All two of you, or three of you, or four. I don't know how many, but that was just live. Of course, you've got a chance to catch up again. And thanks again, Alex. See you next time. All right. Oops. Yeah, this is what happens on a live show. You stop it before it's finished. You don't click the right buttons. You have fun. You make mistakes. You learn from them. Or not. It's all part of the learning journey. Oh, wow. I just want to say hello. Hello, goodbye to the following people. Major Spy Sputnik. Nitin Singh. Mary with two Y's. Robin. Advik. So, yeah. And listeners, thank you for listening. Right, I finally stopped it.